Hi, everyone. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 54 for February 5th, 2019. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. And over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to 5 symbols each. And I put a list together of top requests, which you should be seeing on your screen now while I'm talking. And we will get through as many of those as we can today. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. But you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes of both Timing Research shows on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Search for Timing Research and Tribe. My name is David Cosmeter. I am the creator of TimingResearch.com, and I developed this show with Ian Jenkins of Follow Me Trade, and he's been off for a few months as moderator, but he's back today. Happy to have him back, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay. Hey, thanks, David. It is good to be here again, and like I said, I had a few months off, had surgery, and I'm recovering and doing really, really, really well, so I'm excited to get back to it here, and it's good to be here with Christian. So I'm the moderator of it should be easy to keep the panel under control because we only got one other guy. I think that's sometimes good. We can really spend a little bit more time on the symbols and get through the list and maybe take a few on the fly if people listening have some ideas they want to look at. So type them in and David will let us know. But before we kick it off, Christian, why don't you go ahead and give a quick intro, who you are, what you got going.
Yeah, sure. And guys, thanks for having me on. Dean, great to see you again, and always enjoy being on with Dean. So this should be a real treat. But yeah, my name is Christian Fromhertz. I run Tribeca Trade Group. And you know, what we do at Tribeca Trade Group is basically we just analyze charts and trades all day long, really look for some good setups. We try to catch the trend very quickly. You know, a good example, we've been all over these software names for the last month or so. So it's typically what we like to do is just get in front of trends and just try to take the most out of them. So again, happy to be here and looking forward to going over some charts.
Okay, yeah, and it's good to be here with you as well. And I'm Dean Jenkins, founder of FollowMeTrades.com. And first and foremost, I'm a trader, and I love trading the markets, looking at charts, doing analysis, finding new ideas. My service, I run an alert service, so when I find a good trade, people that subscribe, I go ahead and send out an alert that we're taking a new one. And I got a live trading room where we're looking for new ones, managing trades, and just analyzing the market, doing a little teaching. I'll do that in the mornings for an hour. But it's funny, you said, Christian, you like to get out in front of trends, and so do I. You know, if I have a weakness as a trader, is I hate to join a mature trend. I just don't like it. I just can't make myself do it because I'm a, you know, more of a swing trader. I like to catch those early moves, you know, up or down. And so, you know, like last year, I remember at the end of the year, everybody said, hey, what do you think about Apple? What do you think about Apple? And I'm like, too late, man. But maybe not now. But we got a great list of candidates. I'm excited about looking at these, and we're going to go ahead and just jump right into it, and we'll just go back and forth. And so I'm going to switch over here to my chart, and I think our first symbol up here is RMD. And I was looking at that before the show started, and it was a pretty interesting chart. So Christian, we want to lead off there and tell us what you think about RMD, and then I'll offer a few thoughts as well.
Yeah, sure. And I should be sharing there, but yeah, you know, it's funny because someone asked me about this name just a couple days ago, and you know, it tanked on earnings, and it's kind of in the recovery mode, but it's been one of those names that's been in a real nice uptrend for a while. You can certainly see this volume that occurred on the earnings day. And if we go back and look at a 5-year chart, just to kind of look at the overall trend, I mean, unfortunately, this thing is now trapped underneath. So I would have to say this thing is in a void. I haven't had a chance to kind of go through the numbers to see what they did on earnings, but the price will tell you all you kind of need to know right now is that it's way underneath the 200-day moving average. And, you know, I think it would be tricky to kind of play a move up to overhead supply. So I would say right now, just avoid this. I don't know enough about it to say if it's a short right now, considering that it was in such a nice uptrend, I think in a void right now, but definitely an interesting chart and name.
Yeah. And I hadn't heard of it before it came up on the list here. I wasn't tracking it. You know, I remember I was in London one time and we were riding around on the subway system. And as you go to get on the cars, there's this recording that plays over and over and over, and it says, mind the gap, mind the gap. And I think that's a good one for this. You know, whenever we get a really big gap, I think you got to let that play out. Those can be really tricky to trade. And you know, the name of the company is ResMed. So I don't know if it's a drug company, medical device, something in the medical field, I would guess. And so it was either earnings or, you know, a failed trial or something like that. But something obviously changed dramatically. And it's an avoid for me. I wouldn't try to short it. It's trying to claw its way way up, and certainly wouldn't try to play it long. So there's, you know, we're getting to a point now as we get through earnings season, you know, we're just about halfway through. There are so many good trade candidates that I'm having to prioritize, you know, the best of the best. And this is not on that list for me at this time. Let's take a look at XPO. That's the next one up. And this one is interesting as well. What do you got going on XPO Logistics?
Yeah, so XPO is another one of these names that is, I think it's got a lot of work to do. I'm trying to get my thinkorswim charts up, which I should have up in a second, but for now, just have my Bloomberg charts. This is a 5-year chart, but again, another one, and it looks, you know, completely different industry, but a name that was in a nice, beautiful uptrend, and then just completely fell apart in October, and it's got a lot of work to do. So, you know, it basically has rebounded pretty nicely at 40, but you're into the 50-day moving average. And if we zoom in here a little bit and we look at a 1-year chart, I think right now, if you happen to play this thing, you know, caught a falling knife, now you're back into the 50-day moving average. So I wouldn't want this thing here either. I think it's, you got your resistance, and you know, I think you got to let the price kind of move above the 50, and then maybe if you want to be cute, if it gets above the purple line, the 50-day moving average, then maybe you could try to get it to the 100-day moving average. But again, I would wait for a decent pop out of this coiling, because I would be afraid that this thing starts to head back to like $50. What do you think, Dean?
Yeah, pretty funny that the sell-off on this thing started at about the same time the S&P 500 did in October, and then started coming back up about the same time. So, you know, it's a reasonable proxy, pretty highly correlated to the S&P 500 right now. And that move down was dramatic. And if I do a Fibonacci retracement on that, it went awfully deep, But what it's looking like now is maybe another move up. But like you said, I like that term coiled, right? It's totally in a channel and not going anywhere. It's bumping the 50, just like you pointed out. It can't break through that. So I'd be worried about trying to short it. And I wouldn't try and go long unless it broke through that. So it's just kind of stuck. And so not a candidate for me at this time, but it's an interesting thing. And if it does break out of this, there could be something, but you'd have to wait for that, my opinion. Home Depot. This is one we've looked at lots of times, analyzed to death, but I'm actually cleaning up my chart a little bit. What do you got on the Orange Bucket Store?
Yeah, so pretty interesting, right? I mean, we're kind of seeing this on a lot of charts. It kind of looks like some type of inverted head and shoulders going on, maybe calling them an abstract inverted head and shoulders, because a lot of times we don't see perfectly, you know, that shape. But, you know, kind of looks like, I don't know, left couple shoulders over here, a head, and then, you know, a bit of a right shoulder in here. And then you got the neckline, which is, bam, the 200-day moving average, which is kind of flat here. But I like easy trades, or at least, I should say, no trade is actually easy, but an easy setup. So if this, I would wait till this thing gets back above the 200-day moving average, and then you could basically use your stop there and say, hey, if this thing is going to move back, maybe it gets going. But I like to play in the consumer. You know, I would rather be in the retail space, something that has been, you know, a leader. And I think Home Depot is, you know, if you look at, let's say, Home Depot and Lowe's, I would rather pick Home Depot. And I think once you get above that 200-day moving average, you're good to go to try along.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, you use different analysis techniques than I, but we also have quite a bit of overlap in our approach. So it's really cool to see, you know, different tools brought to bear, but
we usually get back to the same place, right?
Yeah, very similar conclusion. I like your comment about easy trades. That's, you know, when I'm teaching classes, I try to stress, you know, hey, there are thousands of charts out there, right? Good ones. And you know, find one that's got clarity that you understand, right? And if you're sitting there having to work at it and scratch your head, maybe it's time to move on to a different chart. Find one that just jumps and go, oh man, that's so clear. You know, according to whatever method you're using. But Home Depot, you know, it had that big run up. It peaked, you know, like the rest of the market in October, had a nice pullback. That's a really nice correction. And it looks like it's trying to head up again into an extension of that original trend. And if we just use some quick Fibonacci tools. So there's the retracement, perfect, right into a 38.2 to 61.8 Fibonacci retracement zone. And then if that were to have a continuation and ultimately end up in a simple Elliott wave five, it It'll be up here above 218, above that green line. But it's got a little proven to do. And I like the 200 as a, you know, currently looks like a little bit of resistance. If it can pop and then that would become support, that could be something tradable. But I would let that develop a little further before trying to jump into it just now. And it's reasonably correlated to the S&P 500. You know, the dates and the moves here are very, very similar. And I'm not going to be surprised. You know, I'm thinking we're going to get a pullback again on the S&P. I don't know if it'll go to, you know, lows below what we saw in December, but I think we'll get a pullback and we're getting close to the 200 on that as well. And so all these stocks that are highly correlated to the S&P 500 probably going to be coming down with it. And that would all be happening around the 200. So I'm going to wait on these, you know, that have that that correlation.
Dean, since it's just the two of us, what do you think in terms of the overall market right now? You know, we're in this grind them up mode right now. And everybody, I think, is starting to get the feeling that, well, you know, it's getting long in the tooth, but yeah, you just don't know when that volatility is going to start to come back.
Yeah. And so I'm sharing the S&P 500 right now. And you can see, you know, it just today just banged into the 200. And I think this is, you know, we got these prior highs above the 200, you know, even in the down move, lower low, lower high, lower low, lower high. We got these as potential resistance areas even above the 200. And so, you know, this segment of the overall trend is still a downtrend because you got lower lows, lower highs, lower low. We haven't taken out a prior high. We're under the moving average. You got the death cross. So I think we got another reversal in store. And will it go down below that low or not? I don't know. But I'm a little leery about going long on it at this time. And you know, there's so many big political events just hanging on the edge of the cliff as well. At least, you know, the Fed backed off. That was good news. You know, earnings are already coming in mixed. You know, I'm reading facts that when they publish every day, and they say, hey, earnings growth, revenue growth is actually below 5 and 10 year estimates or averages. So it looks like things are coming over the top just a little bit. And I'm wondering, you know, that combined with geopolitics, if the stage is set maybe for some lows. So I'm just being really careful here. And I say that we rode this thing up. You know, all the trades I've closed this year, I think 70-80% of my trades this year have been long, and we've done good. We got a really good win rate going. We're still long, but I'm watching close for this thing to roll. What are you thinking about the market?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I mean, that chart says a lot, right? I mean, it's with that 200-day moving average up there. You know, what I've been telling my guys in the trading room is I've had a very simple approach. I've been watching the 5-day moving average, and you know, because a couple of times we're like, okay, you know, you start to think mentally, you know, we've basically just gone straight up. We had that little pause for a couple weeks, but you kind of are waiting, like, when's this volatility or some type of retest. I haven't really been in the retest camp, but at least, you know, a pause or a back and fill a little bit, you kind of would feel just a little bit better about the whole move. When it starts to just go parabolic up, like we're starting to see the last couple of days, and it seems like there's buyers that are coming in, you start to get a little bit uneasy. And one of the things that I've just been watching, and I'm not going to catch the exact turn, but I've been watching the 5-period moving average in like the IWM, the SPY in the queue. And until we lose that, like, I'm just going to continue to kind of do what I'm doing and be more positioned on the long side. And then once we see that move over, then you know something is changing in the context. But it's really a very simple approach. But I would rather use that than, you know, worry about, oh, you know, the overhead resistance and, you know, because eventually, sure, that could come into play. But it's a lot of people, I think, are technically have been drawing for the last couple of weeks. You pass this line. Okay, maybe if you pass this line, you get to this line. No, it's this line. Well, it's like, you know, none of those have worked. And maybe it's the 200 this time.
Yeah. And, you know, it'll be easy to look back and go, which indicator called it?
right, but, exactly.
And I agree, you know, trying to catch the exact top or the exact bottom, that's a losing game. If it's going to turn, it'll prove it. And it'll take a handful of price bars. But, you'll see a pattern, you'll see things change, and there'll be plenty of profit when it turns. But predicting, you know, to the, you know, on a certain price bar at a certain level, that's a low probability approach, in my opinion. All right. Well, we're making good progress here. This next one, FT, I think this is Fortnite. And I think I've looked at this and I think it was intriguing. Let me see. Yeah. Okay. Fortnite. What do you think about this?
Yeah. You almost want to call it the video game name, right? But yeah, I guess they pronounce it Fortinet. I'm not sure either, but it's definitely been a name name that's been on my radar. I'm not in it. I kind of missed this one. The cyber names have been really strong. Cyber was one name that I played, CYBR. And this one I just kept watching. I actually tried a trade back here and it failed. So I was like, all right, well, I'll keep it on, you know, my radar to get back in. And it was just a little bit too slower. I had this trend line drawn and I never pulled the trigger on it. So now it's definitely nice. It's moved above this trend line, but I think we have earnings for this name. Is it tomorrow or is it on, what's today? Today's Tuesday. It's sometime this week, this name reports. So I think it'll be tricky, but I love the breakout and I love what's going on in the cyberspace. Maybe you could switch it up. You know, what I try to do sometimes with strong areas of the market is I try to say, okay, this name's, you know, I had a swing trade on in a name that was working really well going into earnings. I don't want to hold the single name. You can maybe go into hack if you don't want to hold it through earnings, because I just think it's a coin flip. Which you could see hack is kind of doing the same thing. That's one of the cyber ETFs. That's my take on FTNT.
Yeah, and I tried to play this sector with FireEye last year and kept waiting for that to take off. And we had some good setups, didn't work out. I think I did it twice. And we took a small win maybe on it, but you know, no home run. This, I really like this chart in that it's super orderly. So this Fortinet, FTNT, it moves in a fairly predictable way. And there's a nice setup here that it, you know, looks like ultimately it could get up above 103. It's had a parabolic move the last couple of weeks. So, you know, could pull back, you know, uptrends are higher highs, higher lows, higher highs. You wouldn't want to get in now and have to sit through a higher low before it crawled again. And I did look while you were talking. So earnings on FTNT tomorrow after the bell. So I wouldn't trade into that. You know, there are earnings strategies, but I like to sit it out and wait and then, you know, try to grab a new move after the information comes out. But pretty nice chart. I would let it get through earnings and then, you know, get a handful of price bars and then see if it still looks good. It's definitely one to keep an eye on. And again, I like, you know, it's got plenty of volume and liquidity and it's a super orderly kind of predictable thing. I like it. So I'm going to trade it at the moment. Okay. We cannot do a show without talking about Google. So that's up next. There you go.
Interesting move today, right?
Yeah, it is.
You want to go first for Google?
Sure, I'll go first. It's a little choppy. It's a little choppy for me. And, you know, my trading strategy, I find a good chart setup, and then I like to go take a long position with calls or a long position with puts. And I like to have, you know, kind of a large number of contracts, you know, so that you get flexibility for taking profit, you know, scaling out or whatever. And so, you know, $1,100 stocks, the contracts are really expensive. And it kind of undermines my strategy and some of my followers. So, you know, if there's a perfect setup, we'll do it. But this one's not. It's pretty choppy. And I think there are, you know, I like a good orderly chart like we saw on FTNT. And, you know, great company, of course. You know, they were down overnight. I heard the headlines yesterday. And I think yesterday they announced and people weren't impressed with the earnings, but now it's up. I'm going to pass on Alphabet. I just think there's, you know, for the reasons I listed, I think there's easier things to trade. I really like your term. You know, trading's not easy, but let's don't make it any harder than it has to be. Yeah, what do you think about it? You like it?
I mean, I like the reversal. I think that, you know, so the numbers when they came out, right, because we were looking at the numbers, you know, the headline number, the EPS and the sales number, and they had a really nice earnings beat. And then, of course, you know, Wall Street is focused on, you know, the margins and the pay per clicks and, you know, really kind of getting into the nitty gritty. And I liked what Cramer said. You know, some things I like, so I listen to Cramer, some things he says I like, some things I don't like. But I think, you know, some of these names that, especially like in the FANG group, they initially sold off. And it's funny because Facebook was the only one that really took off after earnings. But Google, I don't know, maybe I completely agree. This has been a very frustrating trade. I mean, if you go back to October, I mean, and even back here, this thing was just slowly, methodically, you know, moving down from a high that it reached on July. And then it's just kind of been frustration, you know, for this thing. But maybe, you know, this thing can get, so I'm being optimistic with a frustrating name. I do like the reversal, and I like the numbers that they put up. And I think it's a really difficult name to play because of the price. I mean, we've got so many of these names that they just don't have reverse, not reverse, the forward splits anymore, which kind of makes it, I think, a little bit harder for retail investors to kind of get into these names, because you just don't want to spend $1,150 to buy, you know, one share. The options are a little bit difficult. I think like a call spread, you know, going out several months would probably be the way that I would play it. But I would give this thing a chance. Maybe it could get out of the rut that it's been and get some momentum to it. But I do like the reversal that it did today, starting lower and then going higher, and waking up yesterday as well, going into the print. So I would give it a shot here, but maybe not with you know, everything you got.
Yeah, that's funny. I listen to Cramer once in a while too, and he's a phenomenal communicator, and he's a phenomenal entertainer, and he dabbles in trading. I know some people have back tested his trades, and you know his recommendations, and they haven't done that well. But he's fun to listen to. He's a great entertainer, and I quote him once in a while when he says something funny that I agree with. So Google, I'm not feeling the love there. I think some of these guys have a strategy, like Google and some of the other ones, about not doing the splits, maybe to keep some of the, you know, the retail and day trading action out of it. I don't know. That's a guess.
I mean, it's really weird. I mean, it used to happen all the time, right? When a company would get methodically up to a certain price, they would have a 2-for-1, 3-for-1 stock split. The stock would go up on the announcement because, you know, psychological reasons. But you just don't find companies splitting their shares anymore.
It's I started my trading career. I went to work for Intel in 1993, and as part of the deal, they gave me stock options and employee stock purchase and stuff. And man, for how long was it? Until September 2001, actually. So it was 8 years. That thing split and doubled like clockwork every 2 years. Double split. And you know, 4 or 5 years into that, it was like, hey boss, never mind a raise to base pay. I want more options, right? This is where the money's at. And that actually got me involved in trading, just seeing the power of, you know, what could happen in the market. But yeah, like you say, no more. And Intel has not split since 2001. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's almost like they all got together and said, hey, we're not doing this anymore. I don't know.
Yeah. And part of it's because they didn't grow fast enough to do it. I mean, it got down to 14 and they're up at $40 or not something now, which all-time high is about 60. VMware. This is, I'll go first. I mentioned that, you know, if I have a weakness as a trader, I probably have many weaknesses, but I just refuse to join a mature trend. And this trend started in January of 16, and it is unabated. And it's beautiful. If you'd have joined at any point, you'd be smiling. You know, but when's it going to end? Who knows? I can't analyze the next move on this on a daily chart, or maybe intraday or short time frame, you know, swings or something. But when it gets this long in the tooth, man, I go look for something else. And that's just my style. But you know, that's me. What do you got there?
Yeah, it's a tough. I agree. It is, you know, yeah. You look at the trend and you're like, oh, this is a beautiful trend. I have not been in this thing the whole way. A couple times I've tried to trade this name, and I've tried again. You know, we're looking at $150 stock, and I've tried to trade it in options. And the options in VMware are really wide, so it's almost one of those things where you're paying a lot to get in the option, and it's difficult to get out of it as well. So it's just deterred me from playing this name. And it kind of looks a little bit too, you know, if you zoom in on the last 1 year, it looks a little bit too sideways. So I kind of talking myself out of it with a, you know, even though the price is above all the moving averages here, you got the 50 and the 100 day moving average that are basically flat. So that's enough for me to kind of not participate with it. Certainly, I think it's a fine long trade if you're sitting long, but I think hard to kind of get in and establish with the way that the options are.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you said the 5100 are flat, and it's pulled quite a ways away from the 200. And if you look at its history, it reverts to the 200 on a pretty regular basis. So you trying to go long now might be a bad idea. Even if the trend is going to continue, this may not be the ideal entry point. Okay, Microsoft. You know, I remember years ago, they talk about mutual fund managers and stuff. Nobody gets fired for buying IBM. I think this is the new one, right? This is the new quality company that nobody gets in trouble for,
right,
betting on Microsoft. Wow. You know, what an amazing deal. You know, I mentioned I started at Intel in 93, and about the same time I moved over from another company, and I, you know, moved my 401k into an IRA. And just for the fun of it, I go, what if I had just put that money into Microsoft at that time, right? And, you know, Intel was splitting and doubling, but Microsoft outpaced them by about 2x in that same period. Man, it was, and still, look at this thing, man. Can't stop it. You got a setup you like on it now?
I think it's a great company, and I think you know, it's funny because Microsoft is now going back and forth with what Apple is now the biggest company in the S&P. So it's when companies become that big in the indices, I kind of shy away from them a little bit. But I like what one of the traders does in my room. Whenever Microsoft goes down a little bit, he just kind of comes in and you know, quickly buys the dip when it seems like it's had a big red day. He'll kind of just come in and play it that way and just kind of be quick and fast. But I think the trend looks great in this. I would think that this thing will start to get back and, you know, maybe come to, you know, come back to 52-week highs, making a little bit of prediction there, because I think their earnings were fine. So I wouldn't be surprised if this thing gets back to 115. Just may take a little bit of time because it's a little bit of a slow mover. But I think a great name to buy in the dips. But it's just not as attractive to me as something that, because it's now the biggest weight, or it's going back and forth with Apple as the biggest weight in the S&P, it's going to get jostled around quite a bit. You know, if we've got something big going on, you know, where directionally the S&P is up or down, it's going to get pulled because it's such a big, it's the biggest weight in there now.
Yeah. And, you know, I look at, you know, I trade some of these bigger companies occasionally when there's a good setup, but I also look at, you know, if I'm doing swing trading and I want to be in something a couple weeks max, you know, what's it take to get a 10% move? What's it take to get a 20% move? And, you know, Microsoft moving 10%, it's a heavy lift, right? In a couple weeks, something big's got to happen. Where there's other companies where they do it all the time. So that's part of my thinking too. So the next one up here is not a Microsoft or a Google. It's interesting, Roku. I remember when they first came out, I didn't really understand their business model, and I thought they were just a gadget company. I was like, you're only sell so many of that gadgets, but I think they got some recurring revenues, some services. So maybe they got a better model than I understood. Not crazy about the chart. This is this pattern. I call it a volcano. When you get a huge move up and 100% retracement, you know, went a little below it. That's like a cross section of a volcano, right, of a mountain. And it can spill some lava on you. It's got a nice move off the bottom here. Where's that going to go? It's kind of hard to say. If you actually viewed that as an impulsive move, which it is by definition, you're right in the retracement zone right now. And, you know, got a down candle today. There might be another move coming down. You need some more evidence. Need to see lower high. But I wouldn't try to take this long, given this overall context here and move off bottom. That's my look at Roku. What do you got, Christian?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there too. I it's not a name that I've really been playing a lot. I've been more distracted by, you know, some other names. You know, in the tech and in the software space. So I really have not been playing Roku. It's definitely made a nice move. It is a momentum name. I think, you know, once it kind of catches, it has the ability to kind of run for a little bit. It's just tough to kind of get into a streaming name right now. You know, I'm more concentrated, I guess, on Netflix in this space, but it is what it is. It's above the 200-day moving average. I would say, you know, again, just another keep it simple approach is, you know, it had that big volume yesterday. I think that there was a rumor that Apple might be involved with them yesterday. And then the rumor kind of was squashed that it was just like, I don't know, something with their earbuds or something like that with Roku. So it wasn't majorly. And that's kind of why it gave back this move yesterday. But nevertheless, I would say, you know, if you like the name, you just stick with the 200-day moving average and see how it goes. And then maybe take a profit target up at 60. But I think there's just better things to look at personally than Roku.
Yeah. If it does, I think, you know, I said I'd be looking for a short if it rolls here. But if it stays above and the 200 provides some support, you know, maybe there would be a long there. As I think about it, but yeah, it's not my favorite. Hey, we're halfway through the list, and about just over halfway through the time. We share a couple ideas that aren't on the list, and you talked about software. Let me bring one up that I kind of like, and it's Adobe. Adobe's actually looking pretty good, and it's funny. It's a company I love to hate. You know, trying to deal with them, and you know, with your subscription and your services, I don't know how they stay in business. Maybe it's because they're only one with certain products, right? But they have a lousy customer experience. but they're very profitable, right? And perfect impulsive move up, perfect correction, and it really looks like it's gonna take off here. I'd like to see this next high taken out, and that would really prove that you got a run going here, and then that would give us a target up over $300. And I think they are through earnings. Let me check. March 14th. Yeah, so they're through. They've announced. So I think Adobe is kind of a nice play. I just want to see it break this high about 261.79, and I might be getting in it. I got a one or two other ideas here, but we'll go back and forth. You got one you like to share, Christian?
Yeah, sure. And yeah, I mean, I love the software space. There was a couple names that reported after the close, and they all seem, it got me a little bit worried that so many names are reporting this week in the software space, and they've been on a really nice run. So I still like this IGV ETF. The only issue with this is you got the gaming. It's not pure software, even though that's what they call it, because you have the ATBI in here, you have Take-Two in here as well. But I mean, this is really where the strength is. So I still like this group. I've been unwinding some longs the last couple days because they've just been running like crazy. So yeah, I mean, I still like this. I don't have one in particular. One that I just kind of bailed on today is Team. Another one that, sorry, I know we said we'll go back and forth a bit, but
roll, you're on it.
Yeah. NTNX is another one that I've been in and out of. It kind of stalled a little bit today, but maybe one to watch here is it just got over the 200-day moving average. I also like what Zen did. They reported earnings after the close. Again, a little bit extended. They're going to have to fight through this, but at this point, this group, if it just cools off just for a couple days and maybe has a little bit of a pullback, because all these names, look at Salesforce, is basically back to the highs. So I think any pullback in this group, and I love the Adobe as well. If these come back, like if Adobe comes, rechecks back to the 200-day moving average, I think it would give us some nice chances, but really like this group a lot.
Yeah, and we've been watching CRM as well, and that's a pretty nice chart. I'll share one that's obscure. I'll bet you haven't had this chart up in months, years, or if ever. Hawaiian Airlines, HA. And this is a short. And I like to have some shorts in play, you know, as a balance, and that, you know, then the ones that are going down against a rising market, if the market does turn, they typically will accelerate even faster. So that can be good. So we're short. We just went short today on a Hawaiian, and we just got a nice series of, you know, big low, perfect retracement off of that. Now lower lows, lower highs, and some momentum dropping. And I've got a price target. I think we're going to get back down close to that low at 25.59, and we're ended at about $30. And this is a good example, right? A $5 move on a $30 stock, and it does it all the time. That's more likely than, you know, because that's what 15-20%, right? It's going to take, you know, congressional legislation to move Microsoft 20-30%. It ain't going to happen in a few weeks, barring a tragedy. So I like this, and I like to have some of the smaller ones. It's liquid enough for us. It's got plenty of volume, plenty of good contracts. So Hawaiian is a short that we took today, and then I'm long Halliburton. We're long Lululemon, but it's too late. But Halliburton's got some room, and this is a nice looking move up off the bottom. Nice pullback. Got a target on Halliburton, 36.23, and there's still time to get into that one as well. And I see you're peeking at it as I talk, there, Christian. Yeah. Does it pique your interest at all, Halliburton or that Hawaiian?
Well, I'll tell you, it's so tough to get back into the energy space. I haven't had the best experience. I think you got to be the last couple of years. I think you've had to be quick, right? If you can manage to make a nice scalp in some of these energy names, then you get out before the selling pressure. But we were looking at Schlumberger today, so that's it was funny that you mentioned that one, and they've got a similar chart to them. But it at one point today had some momentum behind it. But yeah, I mean, you know, maybe a move into these 100-day moving averages, I think is what we were looking at today. XOP.
That is really similar to Halliburton. And look at that tight channel it's in. If it breaks that, there might be a pop, you know, like you said, to get a quick scalp out of it. Right?
Yeah, another one that's kind of in the area of no man's land, but I would watch it is the whole XOP ETF. Just got above the 50-day moving average. And if it could get out of this little digestion zone. And again, I apologize. I don't have my thinkorswim charts up, but we were looking at this for maybe a pop up, and I don't know. Somebody seems to be positioning an XOP out in March. There was a lot of calls that went up. I think it was the 31 calls that had like 19,000 interest. So people are starting to look at the energy space. And I just think it's good, you know, to start looking at some different sectors. So I like your play, you know, on Halliburton, but if just good for diversification purposes to get, you know, because I've been in too much into tech recently and software. Yeah. So I'm purposely trying to look for some other groups.
So Halliburton and Schlumberger are services, right? There's an energy retail that I like better than the big guys, better than XOM and what, but that's the COP, ConocoPhillips. This is a pretty nice deal here. This, we might be just got above the 200. If it can hold there, I think we're going to take a play on a COP.
I think that's something nice. I like it.
Yeah. And again, we're in Halliburton, but I think COP, you know, the broad sector is energy, but I think it's in a completely different subsector. Right? They don't have to move together. I do pay attention to sector weighting. You know, you're not careful, you got the same trade on four times. You don't want to do that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, any other hot lists there, or you want to get back to the customer list?
Yeah. Let's go back to the customer list. That'd be great.
Okay. So go ahead. We're on Johnson. Why don't you take that? J&J.
Yeah. So let's see. Did I unmute my mic? One second.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess change this talc thing, right, is a big overhead thing. And it seems like it's, you know, I don't know much about the case, but it seems like it might be an overhang for a while. I mean, it's probably one of those names that would be better to kind of own and kind of, you know, earn the dividends while it's doing this. But I see that it just might take some time. I think there's better names to kind of focus on other than trying to harvest the dividend for long term. I think, you know, J&J, nothing wrong with holding that like in your 401k IRA for a long time. But I think trading wise, unless they're going to have some relief with this talc thing going on, they're probably going to be, you know, suppressed for a little bit.
It's funny. I don't know if you know the chart you're using there, if you can bang it out a click or two. It's funny, this thing's like a poster child. You can probably see my chart over last year and this year. You know, you hear that saying, the market takes the stairs up and the elevator down. Well, this is it, right? It's almost identical moves that happened early last year and then early this year, right? Climb its way up and then the bottom just gets kicked out of it. That's tough to trade, and that could keep you awake at night if you're long that thing, if you weren't protected. Man, you know, the people that like to hold it long term for dividends, more power to them. You got to kind of ignore your, you know, those pullbacks and just ride it long term, right? It's not my thing. So no trade here for me. That thing's too, there's not really a consistent pattern to it. And yeah, it scares me. This chart frightens me. GDXJ, is this going to be a leveraged gold thing? This is the junior miners.
Yeah, this is the junior. Junior.
So that's 1X. That's not a leverage.
No leverage.
Okay. I avoid, you know, day trading fine on those 2X, 3X, inverse, whatever. I avoid them longer term. You got to really go dig in and understand how they're rolling futures contracts and what they're doing. Otherwise, you can end up getting burned. But, you know, these GDX, GDXJ, these are okay. They can be fun for me. Do you like it?
You know, I have trouble with the gold miners for timing purposes. I mean, it does seem like it's trying to get going again. But I guess you could kind of draw, you know, if this is a 5-year chart that I've got up. You know, I think just very simple, probably stay with the 200-day moving average and stay long. But I've been spooked out of GDX. I was in a couple weeks ago and it did a fake move, I guess, similar to this. Go back into the 1 year. But I had tried this and again, it's going to look very similar to GDX. And I got stopped on the 200-day moving average. And then literally three days later, and it just seems to be what happens to me in the gold miners. They seem like they're just a very difficult trade. So I mean, I think there's something interesting going on with gold right now, but you know, maybe give it a shot, but maybe a smaller position so you don't kind of do what I did and get whipsawed. But I think the gold miners have been such a tough trade. I feel like eventually they're going to get going, but trying to predict that is just really difficult. What do you think, Dean?
Yeah, you know, I've traded GDX a lot in the past and had, you know, good results. And, you know, we used risk controls and when it didn't work out, we didn't get hurt. But I've shifted over the last year to the individual miners. So I'm showing one now, AUI, Yamana Gold. And some of these, and they're low price, but they're, you know, very liquid. You know, look at AUI, 11 million shares today, right? You can trade these things and they move, but they're relatively orderly. So like we're in Yamana, we got in at 241. We're sitting here at 281. We've already taken some profit. We got a win locked down here. We're just letting it see how big it's going to get. Too late to get in. But I've had better luck lately with the individual miners than with the... If you go look at the charts that are in the ETFs like GDX, they're radically different. So it's very much an amalgamated thing, you know? And so there are some really good individual, you know, and there's quite a handful of highly liquid miners out there. It's funny, last year we did really well, I think twice on Vail, and didn't like it this year. And oh my goodness, good thing. That one kind of, you know, that's not a gold miner, but
it's scary, that one.
They fell apart, right? They got a big problem.
Have you seen this KL of the miners?
I don't know. Wow, look at that thing.
I don't own it. I missed the whole move, but I've just been watching it like every day. I'm like, it's still going up.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice one. So that's, you know, kind of underscores my point. You know, some of these individuals can do well, right? And this one's lower volume. Some of them are, you know, very liquid. And you know, the miners don't necessarily move exclusively because of the price of gold, right? They got other stuff going on, and, you know. But it's a fun sector. I like it. But I wouldn't trade the GDX or the Junior right now. Don't like that setup. Short answer. And we got time. I think we're going to make this list. So SYMC. I don't recognize this. Oh, Symantec. Yeah, that is an ugly chart, in my opinion. I wouldn't spend any time analyzing it. There's just nothing there for me. But what do you got?
Yeah, another one. Right. So we were talking about. So this is another. I guess you could call put in the cyberspace. And I think that FTNT, just a pain in the neck because FTNT has earnings this week, but the Symantec is really tough. They had earnings, which caused the spike up. But, you know, if you're looking for like a value play, you know, maybe this would be something, but this is such a tough name. I think there's better names in the space like that, CYBR, but I think from a value perspective, I get it. It was above 30, so maybe you're looking for a move here, but I just think it's too difficult too. And I think there's better places. And I think there's an activist in there too or something with Symantec, but I don't know. I'm not a big, like, I'm going to buy it because an activist is in there and they're going to shake up the company and so forth. But I think a couple people played it in my room for earnings and it popped and they got out of it and they are moving on.
Yeah. And that's, you know, if you got some kind of swing setup, something coming, maybe, you know, it certainly moves. That, you know, you couldn't accuse it of being a boring thing, but boy, that's an erratic chart. I ain't touching it. MS, Morgan Stanley. Boy, the banks. Banks are tough. They used to be, you know, kind of slam dunks. I think the banks are tough. I'm standing aside on, I'm actually interested in maybe other financials, PayPal and eBay, but not a, I'm standing clear of the big banks for a while. Although this looks, there might be something starting here, but it's not quite proven yet. I like the way it came back to the 50, found some support, maybe, but banks are not on my radar at the moment. But what about you?
I'm with you too. It's funny because we said before in the beginning of the webinar that sometimes we get to the same place. I'm with you too. The last time I was on the panel, I went too long talking about why I don't like the banks. So I won't do that again. But yeah, it just seems like they're just not, they're troubled, right? There's just, you know, so this is a good one to keep on the list. It's got to get above the 50 and the 100-day moving average. But yeah, it just seems like they have too many obstacles to overcome. And yeah, I think there's better areas in financials if you can get away from the banks. When we were talking about our ideas, I like Visa right now. I mean, Visa's finally popped back above that 50-day moving average. And, you know, again, kind of a slower mover, but I think just reclaiming and same same thing with the PayPal that you mentioned and MasterCard. I would rather be in these companies than in the banks right now.
Yeah. Here's if you ever want to get lost in the internet, go Google discussions about whether banks benefit from interest rates rises or not. There's a lot of opinions about that. And at the end of the day, you just scratch your head and go, I don't know, man.
It's too hard, right?
Too hard. Yeah. Right? And, you know, it depends is the answer. Right? You know, because they basically make their profit on the arbitrage between what they can get money for and what they get for it. Right? And ideally, yeah,
I think the flat and inverted yield curve doesn't help.
Yeah. So, of course, other, you know, services and wealth management and investment banking are different than that. But yeah, tough. What's this BKNG?
That's Oprah Priceline booking.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. $2,000 stock.
It's a mess, right? Doesn't
it, I saw the B and it made me think we got to go look at Baba, right? I've been watching this like a hawk and I actually kind of like it. Just closed above the 200 today. Look at that. BKNG, no trade for me. But Baba, this thing might have it going. There's a freebie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's funny because you hear nothing about gloom for China's economy. You don't see it here, right? You don't see it here at all.
Right. I mean, it goes back to, reading out the headlines and just focusing on price because, with all the statistics that are coming out with China saying it's slowing down. And meanwhile, you watch some of these Chinese internet names, which were really got hit for a while, but it seems like they're coming to life one by one.
Yeah. I think you said it earlier, everything you need to know is in the price, right? Because that's ultimately how the collective participants responded to the information. So you don't need the information. I don't need the rain. I don't need the weatherman to tell me whether it's raining right now. I can look out the window.
What do you think of since we're doing well on time? What do you think of Trip instead of booking Priceline?
It moves. I think it would be more scalped, short-term trades, less than a week. When it moves, doesn't it? And in the last year, it's really respected that 200. It comes and penetrates it, but then when it goes, man. These are big. This is kind of your textbook swings, right? And so it could be starting another one. If you were thinking, up to 68, up to the prior high or something, you might have a short-term trade there. And that's percentage-wise, that's a good move. It's a good trade, maybe. And I've been watching Expedia, so you bring that up.
Oh yeah, I even went there. I'm looking at, I don't have a position on in any of these, but I started to look at them today.
Same deal, same back up to this high, right? And it's just broke the 200, it's above the Ichimoku class, got positive momentum. Yeah, I think Expedia up to 139 is a potential. That's not as big a percentage move as Trip, but still solid.
Yeah, doesn't look bad.
All right, I guess we got to do Walmart. We got to get that in and then we're going to start our wrap. Walmart's tough and these swings are compressing. You see this, we're almost going into a pennant on Walmart. So I would wait for it to pop out of that. I don't know if you use that kind of analysis, Christian, but you just see the last couple swings, they just get tighter and tighter and tighter. You can see it in the cloud squeezing. So I would wait for a break out of this. I wouldn't trade it right now.
Agreed. It's too sideways too.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's really no current trend defined on Walmart. Sideways is right and tightening. So yeah, it's no fun going there to shop anyway. It's a drag. one last one, Anthem. Yeah, we completed our assignment and looked at some others, had some fun. Auto Home. Oh, I was thinking, I thought this was Anthem. I thought that would be 10, ATHN, Anthem, the drug company. Auto Home, never heard of it. Something to do with cars at home. Don't know the name. It is trying to get another move up going, but it's not pulling it off yet. So I wouldn't touch it below the 200 for a long. I wouldn't go short. It's trying to move up. And you got this high up here that it might stall at. So there's too many red flags. It's just not tradable for me at the moment on this thing here. You ever heard of Auto Home?
I've heard of it, but I'm not in. This is not one that's frequently on my watch list. But I agree. I don't like that 200-day moving average really rolling over. I think you got to let the price get above the 200 before you get involved.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, we're bringing it in right on time. We finished the list. We threw out a couple of ideas and ad-libbed it a little bit. But go ahead and make your final closing comments there, Christian. If you got a link or a webpage you want to share, go ahead and do that for people listening.
Yeah, I do. You can follow me. I for some reason one of my monitors is down, and I'm been struggling the whole hour. But you could go to TribecaTradeGroup.com. You could also follow me at C. Fromhertz, my first initial, last name, on Twitter. You can kind of get a flavor for the information that we put out. But you know, this is great, and being back on here with you today, Dean, and going through charts. But I mean, it's great. I mean, that trip, you know, going through charts like this, I think is a wonderful exercise, and trying to be, you know, as neutral as possible. But, you know, that trip was a nice find. I mean, that's something that I might actually take tomorrow. So again, a pleasure to be on with you, sir. And thank you, David, as well for having me on.
Okay. Yeah, it was good to be here with you. It is a drag when you got the technology down and things aren't working right. Usual tools. I've been there. So again, I'm Dean Jenkins. FollowMeTrades.com. This is my website, FollowMeTrades.com. You know, I run my flagship service is a stock advisory, stock alert service for what I'm going to be trading. We've got a nice track record here, multi-year. All the details of prior year's trades are available, and it's all audited by a third-party CPA. And a good way to get involved, if you want to just check out more, I publish a weekly market forecast and update newsletter. It's free. It's called Beyond the Noise. And so you're more welcome to sign up and check that out. And that is it. And Christian, I enjoyed, again, you know, analyzing charts with you. It's fun. And I look forward to next time. But back to you, David, to wrap it up.
All right. Thanks, guys. Yeah, great show. Always good to get through the full list, and we're right on time here. So just a quick reminder to everyone, be sure to subscribe to YouTube, to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to this or any of the past shows. Be sure to join us next week for both shows. Some of the people I have on the lineup for next week are Bennett McDowell, Anka Metcalf, Damon Pavlatos, Mark Sachs, George Papazov, and Jim Penny. So be sure to join us for both shows next week. And just want to thank my guests again for this episode, Christian Fromhertz of TribecaTradeGroup.com and Dean Jenkins of FollowMeTrades.com. Thanks, guys.